I invite you to another facet of this new prayer and maybe start praying, Jesus, where are my fish? I think that he will show you.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. We're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Central North Carolina in a series that we've titled Peace in a Pandemic, The Power of Seeing the Crisis Through the Eyes of Jesus. Obviously, in the current situation that this whole world is going through, church has had to pivot in general, and especially with the way we worship together, and in most cases, quite virtually. So we're bringing you this very timely series preached just weeks ago by Pastor Alan to his home congregation. We trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you to give you strength to endure. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now. Again, very timely for our current situation. It's a CD audio album called Growing Deep in Times of Stress, and these are stressful times. It can be yours for your donation this month to Sharing the Light. As you listen to today's message on the pandemic, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now let's get started with today's teaching, Peace in a Pandemic. Here is Pastor Alan Wright.
Well, are you ready for some good news? Jesus knows where all the fish are. And I think you'll see today why that's really good news, because I'm not just talking about bass and brim. We're in a wonderful story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5, starting at verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, another term for the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. I never have been that much of a fisherman, just never was very good at it, except, you know, as a kid down at Spencer's Pond, down at the end of the street. Mr. Spencer had two ponds. One was actually something of a lake. It was pretty big. We always fished the pond, and he didn't mind us coming down there and fishing for bass and brim. I just didn't catch much, never was very good at it. And really, there was one kid in the neighborhood, my buddy Keith Tehan. He was good, and he always caught fish. I'd catch a few little tiny brim, but he catched some largemouth bass. They were good. I used to think it was because he had better tackle, but over time I had to admit it was because he had better skill. He seemed to know where the fish were. See, the problem with fishing, I think this is my problem with fishing, is that unlike other sports, in fishing, you can't see what you're aiming at. You can't see your target. You can't see the fish. No other sport is like that. The free throw shooter in basketball, he sees the rim. He's got a basketball. Throw it through the hoop. The 300-pound lineman in football knows who he's supposed to block. It's the other 300-pound lineman on the other side that's staring at him. In race car driving, you can see the track. You can see the other cars drive around the track. They don't tell the race car driver, "Now, we're going to blindfold you for this one because we don't want you to be able to see where you're going." Even hunters, they shoot at something they see, hopefully. They might sit in a deer stand all day and not see something, but they only shoot when they see. But fishing, you can't see anything. You don't know if the fish are there. You can walk by somebody, if they're fishing in a new a new pond they hadn't been at before. Hey, are they biting today? No. You ever caught anything yet? No. You think you will catch anything? Don't know. Why don't you know? Can't tell whether there's any fish here or not. I mean, you could theoretically go somewhere and just fish all day, and there are no fish there. So I have a problem with fishing. You cannot tell where the fish are. I know we have these modern fish finders people use in deep sea fishing, but we did not have those at Spencer's Pond. If you're going to fish, you got to have some skill, but you have to have some knowledge of where the fish are likely to be. And this story is a story about disciples who are lifelong, skilled, professional fishermen who spend all night toiling, throwing the nets out repeatedly, trying different spots on the Sea of Galilee with which they're very familiar, and it produced nothing until Jesus, after he taught from one of their boats, sent them out into the deep, and they cast their nets, and soon their nets were exploding with fish because Jesus knows where the fish are. It's a miracle story, so just taking it face value, it's a glorious account of the power of Jesus, the Messiah. But at risk of, you know, sometimes over-allegorizing stories like this, this one is definitely symbolic because Jesus says at the end, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He is saying this whole story and everything you've witnessed is an illustration of a greater destiny that I am going to give to you. So you know that Jesus is not just here demonstrating his power to bring some fish into a net or to see fish that are swimming in the sea. He's showing us something different. And I think that God has for us today some very powerful lessons that I think will encourage us and strengthen us in the journey that's ahead. Jesus knows where the fish are. So as we are studying this simple concept of just asking Jesus for his eyes, to see all of life through Jesus' eyes, I invite you to another facet of this new prayer and maybe start praying, Jesus, where are my fish? I think that he will show you. It's a story about, in the first place, emptiness. It takes place at the Sea of Galilee. We saw last week this beautiful, beautiful freshwater lake that's 13 miles long and was the place of work for Peter and James and John. We know what kind of boat they were in because an archaeologist in 1965 dug up a first century fishing boat out of the sands of the Sea of Galilee. They now have replicas of these, and tourists go around and can see them. This would be the sort of boat that they were in, and they could have as many as 10 or 15 people in a boat. The fishing industry was flourishing under Herod. The tetrarchs, his sons, Herod and Philip, the sons of Herod, had invested a lot into the fishing industry. The Jewish historian Josephus said there were 230 fishing boats, he recorded, on the lake that were working during this period of time. They fished mainly for what's now called St. Peter's fish. It's a kind of tilapia, I think. They would be about 18 inches long, and you still can, I think, get those St. Peter's fish there. They're quite tasty. They also had a couple of other sardine little fish they would fish for sometimes, and a carp that they would fish for. They also would take the entrails of cleaned fish, and they would mix it together with the smaller fish, and they'd put it in some kind of salt and dry it out in the sun, and it produces some sort of fermented sauce that historians say they used. Sounds yucky to me, but anyway, they said they used this in almost every Roman meal, this kind of fish sauce, so that was popular as well. The fishing was done with nets, and there was a more shallow water fishing that was done more in the daytime, and there was a deeper water fishing that was done at nighttime. But the image, as you probably have seen before, of a maybe 25-foot diameter circular net that would be tossed out, as is represented in this archaeological illustrator that shows beautifully the kind of scene that it might have been, a regular scene there at the Sea of Galilee. And our story starts with their boats and their nets being empty. It was a futile night of work. It is the kind of time that we spend in our lives when you've tried everything and it's not working. It is when you feel like you've given it your all and you've come up empty. We all know what those times feel like. You can feel it in almost any arena of life. An exasperated parent who says, I have talked until I'm blue in the face. I have counseled. I have disciplined. I have consulted with others. I don't know what I'm going to do with this disobedient child. I feel like I'm empty. There are people right now in the middle of sheltering in place and pandemic that are wondering how they're going to make it because their business accounts have grown empty. Working hard, trying hard, and it just feels empty.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Coaches can feel this way. Even a preacher who could stay up all night looking for a word from the Lord, and you have times you feel dry and empty. It was one of those times. It was an all-nighter. You know, it's so interesting how often the Lord will do this in preparation for something I'm going to preach. I get to live it out a little bit. And in the midst of preparing this message and thinking about it, I had a night where I just couldn't sleep. I wasn't worried. I wasn't agitated. I was just thinking about the message. I never could fall asleep. And I got to remember what it's like when you have spent an all-nighter, basically. But I spent an all-nighter kind of lying there in bed thinking, but these guys have spent an all-nighter working hard. You're tired, you're exhausted, and empty. And that's where the story starts. And what's interesting about this story as you reflect on it is that there are surprising blessings. And the first surprise is that there can be a blessing in an empty boat. Why? Because Jesus used that boat. I've thought about what would have happened if there had been a great haul that night and the boat was still full of fish. Jesus could have found some other way to teach the people, but the boat was so suitable because once you get onto the water a little bit, he is protected from the crowds that were pressing in on him, and his voice would carry over the lake. Maybe the disciples had a successful night and were on their way to the market. They would have missed the whole thing. But the empty boat, the empty net, is something that God used. Jesus said, let me get in a boat. He pushed out and he teach. And he began fishing for people from their empty fishing boat. You know, sometimes just in life, what happens is you hit a place where you feel like we're stuck. But in that empty place, in that place where it feels like something's got to change, great things happen. You know, we're seeing some of that happen even during the pandemic, where businesses that might otherwise fail have just pivoted. I was thinking of Boathouse Apparel that a Philadelphia sports apparel group that had a huge business that they started losing all the sports apparel, and they just pivoted and landed a contract with one major company to make 100,000 masks. So they're helping safety, and they're just pivoting their business. Sometimes when things are seem like they're sinking lower, where there comes in real innovation. I think of Steve Jobs, who when he came back to Apple in 1997, sales had been down 36% in the last 2 years. I mean, it was just sort of tanking. And so what he did was he said, we got to change everything. And so Steve Jobs started innovating again. And out of that came the iPhone, iPad, changed the world out of that. What I'm just saying is that sometimes, even in the natural world, when things feel empty, innovative things happen. And I think, beloved, we're seeing this right now in the church. It makes me sad to see empty pews, but I rejoice in what is being innovated in the body of Christ all around the world. And so out of this empty period, there's a filling, as I've spoken about. There have been churches that have had a million people watch their service online. We have seen numbers exploding for our own church, and it's happening all over. God has a way of using empty things. Jesus said it plainly in Matthew 5, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. When you hunger and you thirst, you are inviting the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Those that hunger are able to be in touch with their need for God. It's a story that begins with an empty boat and empty nets, and to a certain extent, empty hope. And Jesus intervenes and comes into the middle of it and uses the boat and soon fills up the net and then describes for them a new destiny. If you're feeling empty, maybe it's because God is ready to fill you in some new way. Be ready. Jesus would like to get into your empty boat. I think about the story as it continues, and at verse 4, when he had finished speaking, Jesus, at Luke 5:4, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. He comes to these tired disciples, and he particularly tells to Simon Peter, he says, now go out there in the deep and put it down a catch. It's a direct command. And I want to show you that God often blesses us in a surprising way through what it might first seem like an arduous command. When you've been laboring all night long and you've come up empty and you know these waters, and then somebody gives you a command to go back out there and try it again, your first instinct is probably to say, no, thank you. I've just been out there. And Peter, in a respectful way, he says essentially that. He says, well, we've been doing it. It's not going to work, but because you say so, we'll go. And so he goes only by the word of the Lord. And though he's exasperated, the miracle soon comes. So as I learned from my spiritual father, Dudley Hall, many years ago, when Jesus speaks a command, there is always a promise inside of the command. And by this, I mean that the greatest thing that you might could ever get from Jesus is a direct command. Because when he gives it, the empowering gift comes along with it. You hear me speak so often about the fact we are not under law, we're under grace. The old covenant has been fulfilled through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we're in a new covenant of grace. in which the Son has been perfectly obedient on our behalf. So anyone who has trusted in Jesus's finished work is therefore set free from the tyranny of the law. And we no longer live under a pattern of fearing that we'll violate the law and therefore be punished. We have been forgiven fully, and we have been given in Christ his own righteousness. That's the beauty and power of the gospel. So we're not under law. But it doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't still tell us what we should do or give us commands. Of course, we want that from him. We need it from him. I think the confusing thing is that when you think like a slave of a master, you just fear punishment. And we're so used to, in this world, there are commands that people give us. And it's not because it's for our good. It's because the other one just needs it. I mean, let's just face it. There are times my kids, they're growing up. Bennett, I need you to mow the lawn. And yeah, there's some good. He's being trained. And you might could say there's a silver lining for him. He's learned some things. But mainly, I need the lawn mowed. You're going to mow it. And I told Abby while I was preparing us, I said, you know, like we sometimes say, you got to vacuum the whole house. She said, junior in college, she said, still happens. But, you know, when you get a command like that, it's more like a sergeant that's barking out an order to the private. I need you to dig that trench. And it doesn't have to do with the benefit of the one receiving the command. But Jesus turned all of that upside down. With Jesus, the command is a gift.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light. Today's teaching, Fishing in the Deep with Jesus. And it's in our series, Peace in a Pandemic, the power of seeing the crisis through the eyes of Jesus. And Pastor Alan is back with us for today's closing thought in just a few moments. Stick with us.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Back with Pastor Alan, and in this teaching, Fishing in the Deep with Jesus, a familiar text, I have to be honest, but you bring a fresh perspective in the midst of this pandemic, and you were preaching this message in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, sheltered at home, church services happening virtually, and yet we can feel like life has just come to a screeching halt in a productive standpoint, but also maybe even with evangelism and reaching people for Jesus.
In the early days of sheltering in place and pandemic, I confess to probably having some sleepless nights and fighting off the worries of what does all this mean for the world, for the church, for all of us. But over time, Daniel, I've begun to worship him and really appreciate that in the midst of things that are bad, the evil things, the suffering, in the midst of what God didn't cause, God can cause good. And there are good things that are already happening. There are more people being reached now online, I think, than any physical assembly of churches could ever reach. If Jesus knew where the fish were when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, he knows where your fish are. He knows where your area of productivity is. He knows where the next season of your ministry is. He knows where the next season of productivity for your business is or for your relationships. And so ask him. We've been learning how to just pray a simple prayer and say, Jesus, how do you see this? And maybe this is the best prayer that we could take with us out of pandemic. Jesus, where are my fish?
It feels like we've toiled all night and we're tired and we're exhausted, so just show us. And if you ask him, I think he will.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.